Hello, 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 once again, all my fellow patriots and you filthy leftist stalkers out there. You are listening to Angela Soapbox on Raging Lemons Radio. My name is Angela Box. y'all, when I tell you the first story we're gonna jump into, you're gonna be like, mind blown. Anyway, let's do some quick housekeeping. You can find everything Angela Soapbox on angelasoapbox.com. This episode can be heard live at 10 a.m. and noon on Raging Elephants Radio. And it's also converted into Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio podcasts. Follow me on BitChute and Rumble at The Box That Rocks, or look for Angela Soapbox. Instagram at The Box That Rocks. Facebook is Angela Box Public. And Truth Social is at Angela Box. Still don't have my Twitter. Still don't have my YouTube back. I put in another appeal this week into Twitter and haven't heard anything back. I mean, I'm like, dude, Elon, whoever's doing your content moderation, like, I have never spammed anyone. I've never threatened anyone. I've never called for violence. Like, why do I still not have my Twitter? It's really infuriating and it's really frustrating because, and look, I'm not being paranoid. Look, after the Twitter files released, we found out we were not being paranoid, those of us who feel like we have bullseyes on us. And I've definitely had a bullseye on me since 2014, since, you know, they tried to cancel me way back in the day. If you ever want something funny to read, Google Angela Box Daily Mail. So start there and you'll see why they've had a bullseye on me. Anyway, all right, the sea turtle killing plastic straw for this week. Y'all. Project Veritas has uncovered a massive, massive bombshell. And it's about Pfizer. So we're going to drink the sea turtle killing plastic straw to Pfizer. And I'm going to get to that. I'm going to tease that a little bit because I want to lead up to it because, y'all, it is good. Mm. Okay. So a weird thing happened before I get to the Pfizer stuff. A weird thing happened last Sunday with the football, whatever. I don't watch it, but everyone was talking about this. Damar Hamlin allegedly showed up on the field, not on the field, excuse me, at the facility. And supposedly he was, you know, waving to the crowd. But here's where it went weird, okay? So whoever this Damar Hamlin person was, I don't think it was Damar Hamlin. Now, keep in mind, Damar Hamlin was dead for 9 minutes. He did not have a heartbeat for 9 minutes. They were doing CPR on him for 9 minutes. Ergo, he doesn't have a heartbeat. And after 8 minutes, you're basically brain dead, okay? You're a vegetable. There ain't nothing left. So whoever this guy was, let's just say it was Damar Hamlin. It's like, wow, Damar Hamlin, who was dead for 9 minutes, just a couple of weeks ago, was the last time we heard on oxygen and all these things. This guy who shows up at the Buffalo Bills game, walking around, no oxygen tank, walking around like everything's fine, like skipping, like walking quickly, like everything's great. The dude is completely covered up from head to toe. He's wearing a mask, a surgical mask, of course, sunglasses inside, and where they put him, they put him in this, like, oatmobile, like this golf cart, and they drove him around the stadium to pretend like Damar Hamlin is in there in the oatmobile waving to people. Again, no pictures of his face, no interview, no video interview, no Zoom call, nothing. Nothing that we could point to say everything that you've been saying about Damar Hamlin's recovery is true. Not one single thing, okay? So then they put him up in this, you know, box. And what was weird too. His mom and his little brother were there, but they didn't sit with him. Why would that be? And he's up there and he's flashing these like finger signs. And, you know, people can make of it what they will, but they were weird symbolism that he was flashing. I'll just leave it at that. Okay. And again, mask on, glasses inside. Something in the milk ain't clean here, guys. And the Buffalo Bills have had a number of, medical emergencies in the last few months. Certainly since the vaccine mandate kicked into full gear. So a radio play-by-play guy by the guy named John Murphy had a stroke last week, just out of the blue. And then the co-owner of the Bills and the Sabres, a woman named Kim Pegula, who is this woke psychopath, y'all. She is a lunatic. She had a, quote, medical emergency in June and has not been seen or heard from since. And they just hired a new COO to fill in her role with the Sabres. I mean, it is weird and getting weirder, okay? And I think, look, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on, all right? I'm just going to put it on. I think DeMar Hamlin is far from well. I think that maybe this Kim Pegula lady is far from well. If it was my guess, the fact that they haven't done any interviews, showed their faces, nothing to prove that they're okay, all right, tells me they're probably both in comas or something, and it's not looking good. Now, I could be wrong. If I end up being wrong and this lady comes hopping around next week, be like, here I am, I'm fine. Or if DeMar Hamlin shows up on the field and it's really DeMar Hamlin, I'll be like, well, I was wrong. But it's a little sus, shall we say? It's a little sus. Now, let's get to what Pfizer has been up to, y'all. Because this is amazing. Project Veritas, I don't know how they do this, man. I don't know how they get these dumbasses to talk, but it is just absolutely genius. Project Veritas, Pfizer director claims the company is mutating COVID-19 to create new vaccines. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So this guy is named Jordan Tristan Walker. He works for Pfizer. And the one concern is that Walker seems to have no online presence, though some are claiming he had a LinkedIn account that was deactivated. So the Project Veritas is saying, look, there's always caution to be exercised in these cases because you want to make sure the person in the video is who said they are. And with that said, Project Veritas has faced lawsuits before and would likely have not released this if they were not certain of the sourcing. Okay. Now, this is the deal. The guy named Jordan Tristan Walker says that COVID-19 itself was created in a lab in Wuhan in China. Now, that theory, which is now highly accepted, was suppressed by everybody for years, including social media companies. And I think that Elon is really like waiting until the maximum build happens, until he drops all the tea, all the receipts on Fauci and Pfizer and Moderna and all these deep state operatives, World Economic Forum, blah, 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 their internal direct messages, whatever. I think he's hanging on to that as the coup de grace, if you will. So this guy is basically saying that what they want to do is use the current COVID-19, which again was created in a lab, because he goes, I mean, how would this just come out of nowhere? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, like, all the things we said, like, this seems to be genetically modified. This seems to be gain of function. All the things that Rand Paul has been grilling Fauci about, this seems to be like gain of function. This doesn't seem to be have occurred naturally, okay? So this guy, Jordan Peterson Walker, is basically admitting this. He's saying, don't tell anyone this. There is a risk. Have to be very controlled to make sure this virus you mutate doesn't create something the way that the virus started in Wuhan, to be honest. So what they wanted to do is take COVID-19, tweak it a little bit, say, oh, there's this new variant, and look, we've got just the vaccine for it. And when you realize that Pfizer, again, has no legal accountability to anybody, they have blanket immunity. And the reason they wanted to get their vaccines on the childhood immunization schedule is so they wouldn't have any liability attached to them. Because if your vaccine is on the childhood immunization schedule, that which is what the CDC recommended, then they can't be sued. Do you see how this works? So they're going to continue to mutate this virus and then create a vaccine to cure it. And in the meantime, they're doing their darndest to help depopulate the world, which is the number one goal of all of this. And we also come to find out that they are finding spike proteins that are being produced all over the body after mRNA vaccination, including in the testicles. Ding, 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 everybody. Depopulation, menstrual cycle issues, sterilization of men and women, people dropping dead suddenly, massive injuries, amputations, whatever. Things that people will have to now take their medicine, their treatments, the big pharma companies, for the rest of their lives. And just to gird your loins further, all the worst people in the world are basically prepping us for the next pandemic. Bill Gates warns Australia, and remember Australia, New Zealand, two of the most egregiously awful lockdown countries in the world. Bill Gates warns Australia to prepare for the next pandemic, which could be man-made and far more brutal than COVID. He's sitting there. He's just like, oh, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for this. We talked about last week how all these billionaires over at Davos aren't flying with any people that are unvaccinated or unvaccinated pilots or unvaccinated crew. None of these politicians have suddenly hashtag died suddenly. Isn't that weird? So as everything, the deep state likes to give us a preview of what they have planned for us. In Davos, or one of these stupid World Economic Forum things, they talked about, Klaus Schwab gets up there. The next thing we have to worry about is a massive cyber threat, a takedown of all our cyber systems. This guy, I mean, he's literally central casting for like Dr. Evil. Like it's like, dude, you might want to sit this one out because you literally sound like an evil warlord. Okay. Stop. But Klaus Schwab's out saying cyber attack's going to happen. Bill Gates, oh, the next pandemic is going to be even worse. And remember, right before COVID hit, these same people were warning us about a big pandemic that was coming. Y'all, if people don't start pulling their heads out of their asses, if it does not become more than 20% of us who are critical thinkers, this is what they have planned for us. And at some point, it's going to be the unvaccinated versus these horrible, horrible people for control or survival or whatever. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to drop dead that got this thing. I mean, God, I hope not, because I have friends who got it and I have family who got it. It would be tragic. I don't want anyone to die of this thing. Even those of you who virtue signal about getting it, I don't want you to die either. But what needs to happen is we need to start pulling back the layers of this onion and find out what coordination was going on with our NIH, CDC, Fauci, Bill Gates, WHO, World Economic Forum. It is all connected. It's all connected. And that's what we need to start getting to the bottom of. All right, you are listening to Angela's Soapbox on Rachel Helps Radio. I am just getting started. Be right back.
Can you do it? The RER 2 plus 2 challenge. Howdy, rowdy Texans. It's me, E, the millennial voice of RER. I'm a big fan of RagingElephantsRadio.com. More Texas voters should be listening to RER every day. A better, deeper knowledge of how Texas works will help Texas voters to make Texas more like Texas. The RER 2 plus 2 challenge. Listen to RER 2 hours a day, every day, for 2 weeks. You'll learn more about Texas politics in 2 weeks than you've ever known. Mark it on your daily calendar. Set your phone alarm. The RER 2 plus 2 challenge. 2 hours a day, every day, for 2 weeks. RagingElephantsRadio.com. The rebellious voice of Texas liberty.
Welcome back to Angela's Soapbox on Regulus Radio. I would be remiss if I did not remind you that Congress is exempted from Biden's vaccine mandate. Okay? So just remember that. People that work for the federal government don't have to take the vaccine. Let me rephrase that. People who are in Congress don't have to take the vaccine mandate. I don't know if that extends to their staffs or not. But everyone else that works for the federal government, and if you have a company that has 100 or more employees, well, then you have to take the jab. Just to remind you of that. Congress has exempted themselves once again. And if that doesn't tell you right there that this is all BS, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. And I need to pay tribute before we go on to the next topic. Diamond and Silk, great duo of ladies, these sisters that became famous by just, you know, doing homemade videos and, you know, speaking truth and being Trump supporters, and these very, very funny ladies. So her sister Diamond, Silk describes how her sister Diamond died suddenly in her kitchen. And she said at her funeral, "I want America to wake up and pay attention. Something ain't right. Something ain't right. There's something going on." She said that her sister was, they were in the kitchen. She was fine one minute, and the next minute she just dropped to the floor and like couldn't breathe, and that was it. And how many more times are we going to hear about this over and over and over and over again? Y'all, the Nuremberg trial 2.0 can't come soon enough. It just can't. So there's an interesting development out of New Zealand. It was last week, but I didn't get to it. The New Zealand Prime Minister up and quit suddenly, and her and she's horrible. Jacinda something, I don't know, it doesn't matter. She will be in the dustbin of history, just like all of these other tyrants and dictators and despots. Her name will have the ring of a Benedict Arnold or Pol Pot or Stalin or, dare I say, Hitler one day. Okay, all of these people will be relegated to elevated to some of the biggest enemies of humanity in one of these days. They're going to have to flee to Argentina like the old Nazis did, okay? So this lady gets out. She's like, oh, she's tearfully saying, "I will resign on February 7th. No explanation. No one is like digging into this. And it's like, why? How come? So now, but this is the crazy part. So just when you think New Zealand might be getting some relief from the insanity, no. Their new Prime Minister, Chris Hipkins, wants to track people down to make sure they are vaccinated. I mean, it's like, seriously, can you imagine like some apocalyptic movie? They're chasing after you and they want to shove a needle in your arm. It's insane. It's insane. And here's something really funny. So there's this new Democrat whip, Catherine Clark, and she's virtue signaling about how she's a woman and she has a trans daughter, meaning a biological son who dresses up like a girl. Anyway, the trans daughter, the biological male, was arrested with other members of the psychotic left-wing fascist Antifa group. It's funny, they call themselves anti-fascist. Antifa thinks if they call themselves anti-fascist that we won't like go, oh, well, I guess they're not fascists, when they are the very definition of fascists. And not only that, the causes they are championing are, they blow my mind. Like, they are championing, you know, making sure that kids get exposed to drag and get exposed to queer and transgender everything. And, you know, if you go and you protest these absolute sick freaks exposing themselves to children or wanting to shower with your daughter in the Y, for example, well, you're a transphobe. That is where Antifa has planted their flag. And they're like, we are firmly in the camp of pedophiles and groomers and people with mental illness who think they can change their gender. In addition to all the other crap we believe in, like burning down cities and killing people if they don't agree with us politically. Okay. So Catherine Clark, who is, again, virtue signaling that she's the new Democrat whip and she's a woman and she has a trans daughter or whatever, biological male. So the non-binary son, now it's non-binary. Before, this kid was trans. Like, she was like, I'm so proud of my trans daughter, Riley, or whatever he calls himself now. So Riley goes to jail, goes to this arraignment because he's charged with assaulting a Boston police officer during Boston's, you know, beginning of riot season 2023. I mean, I guess riot season's coming early this year, isn't it? They're not waiting for the summer. They're doing it in the winter. They're like, we got to get this moving. We got to continue to normalize the idea of riots and vandalism and complete social upheaval, so you don't look over here at what these politicians are actually doing to this country. We're going to have you look over here at all the destruction we're creating. Look over here at this crap. Don't look at what they're doing over here. Anyway, this guy named Jared Dowell, who is the son of House Democrat whip Catherine Clark, was arrested on January 21st and charged with assault and battery on a Boston police officer after inflicting serious bodily injury, vandalizing a historic monument, damaging property by tagging, and resisting arrest. On Monday, he was arraigned in Boston Municipal Court and released on a $500 bond. Now, before I get to his appearance and how he showed up at the arraignment, let us think about for a minute how this freak is being released on a $500 bond, but people who literally just walked into the Capitol building or were invited in by police or took a picture in Nancy Pelosi's office have been subjected to horrific treatment in the D.C. gulag and in jails around our country without due process, with their trials never happening, with no bond for these people, for, again, trespassing. I cannot stand these people. Anyway, let's talk about how Jared showed up at his arraignment, shall we? Jared showed up in boy clothes. He's got a nose ring. He's got an earring through his, it looks like his temple near his eyes, like it looks really painful. He's got an earring in his ear. He's dressed in a pink Oxford shirt, button down, and a black blazer, and his hair is short. He looks like a boy because he is a boy. Now, why would Catherine Clark, who's the Democrat whip and runs around talking about transgender women are women, transgender rights for everyone, whatever, all the crap they talk about, all the crap that I can tell you right now, I know from personal experience, these people don't believe this crap. A lot of them think it's crazy. A lot of them think it's lunacy of the highest order. But you know what? They won't say anything. They won't say anything because they're afraid of what the psychotics are going to do to them. And these are Democrats I'm talking about. And I'm like, listen, you got to stand up to these people. You have to be the voice of reason in your party. Otherwise, it's going to keep going. Now, there's another part of me that's like, no. Please do not be the voice of reason. Keep going to the mat for this crap. Do it, because you look so stupid. You look so dumb. To championing people who have clear mental illness and who claim that you can change gender, just like the alchemists in the Middle Ages thought they could change poop into gold. Okay? So, but why would Catherine Clark, let me take a drink. Sorry, my voice is going for some reason. Catherine Clark, who, again, her son is transgender and goes by the name Riley. So Riley, I guess, was dressed all in his transgender gear when he assaulted a police officer and desecrated a historical monument and got released at $500 bond. Shows up dressed like a boy. Why? Because Catherine Clark, the minority whip of the Democrat Party, does not want normal America to see what kind of a lunatic progressive Democrats raise, okay? Because it's not going to be a good look for her. That's why she told her son to put on a sport coat and a shirt and look like a normal human being, relatively, minus the piercings and the eyeliner, whatever. But, you know, the things they support, the things they promote and protect and think is okay is mind-boggling to me. And again, normal Democrats, you can really be the hero here and stand up against this. But again, their party has gone full lunatic. There are no more moderate Democrats. There are no more JFKs. There are no more Joe Liebermans. Joe Manson, I can't even count Joe Manchin anymore because he showed up at the World Economic Forum last week, along with Brian Kemp, by the way. Okay, so speaking of riot season coming early, so there's this big riot in Atlanta because you might say, oh, was an unarmed black man killed by a white supremacist cop? Nope. You would be wrong. They want another George Floyd. They desperately want another George Floyd. But this time, it was an Antifa thug who was attacking the cops. I believe he was throwing a bomb at cops, or he was trying to shoot the cops, and the cops shot him in self-defense, obviously. So what does Antifa do? Well, they bust in all their freaks from all over the country. These people arrested, they're not from Atlanta. They set fire to downtown Atlanta. They loot, they riot. And the same thing happens from these stupid news reporters. They're like, oh, I'm standing in front of City Hall. It's burning behind them. Oh, mostly peaceful protests. These gentle little lambs of Antifa are very upset at one of their friends being brutally murdered by an Atlanta white supremacist cop. Back to you, Dan. Mostly peaceful. It's absurd. So we've got all these people being busted to start all these problems because there's all kinds of stuff percolating. They're trying to keep your eyes off the Joe Biden stuff because it ain't just about Joe Biden. It's about Obama. It's about Hillary. It's about all of them. And then the next segment, we're going to dive into that a little bit because that plot thickens. They want that to go away as soon as humanly possible. We'll get into it in just a second. But riot season started early. So get excited. It's going to be a fun year. You're listening to Angela Soapbox on Raging Helpless Radio. Be right back.
What's up, Saints and Patriots? I'm Apostle Claver, a proud Texas nationalist, and I'm here to tell you about Texit. For 25 years, Daniel Miller has been working to see the rebirth of the Republic of Texas. His work has been hard, but his passion is deep. For many Texans, there is a deep yearning, a burning to see the prophecy of Sam Houston come true. But the desire of their hearts comes with many questions. Texit has the answer. It's the new book from Daniel Miller and Defiance Press. Texit, Why and How Texas Will Leave the Union. Texit charts the path to Texas independence. This riveting book of facts and philosophy will soothe your anxiety about the coming change and build your confidence that Texans can get it done. You'll want to buy several copies for your family and friends. Like I've said about this governmental mess, the only way out is out. And the best part of Texit, I'm in it. Texit, Why and How Texas Will Leave the Union. It's selling like hotcakes. Buy it on RagingElephantsRadio.com.
Welcome back to Angela's Soapbox on Raging Lunatics Radio. One more thing about Jared Dowell, a.k.a. Riley, the son of Democrat Whip Catherine Clark. He also appears to run a leftist mutual aid group and has posted about it on anarchist and anti-capitalist subreddits. And then this is what Catherine Clark said about her son being arrested. Last night, my daughter was arrested in Boston, Massachusetts. I love Riley, and this is a very difficult time in the cycle of joy and pain in parenting. This will be evaluated by the legal system, and I am confident in that process. Well, you should be, Catherine Clark, because he's Antifa, so he'll be just fine. Unlike, say, a January 6th protester. So he's released. Everything's great. In fact, prosecutors just love dropping charges against these Antifa thugs. So, you know, I'm sure he'll be fine. No, there's no two-tier system of justice. No, everything is just fine around here. So, as I said, all of these events, all of this turmoil that we're experiencing, a lot of it is being done to divert your eye from what's really going on. And what's really going on is that Joe Biden and his family are, you know, it's funny because they are a massive criminal crime family for sure, 100%. But I don't find Joe Biden to be very smart. I don't find him to be a compelling historical character. I think he's like a low-level guy in all of this. And what they're trying to do is get him out of the way as soon as possible so it doesn't come back to implicate bigger people like Obama, like Clinton, the FBI, CIA, etc. All these Democrats that are getting kickbacks, this money we just sent, you know, even more money to Ukraine this week. They are doing the most to get this into being a hot war with Russia. They want a shooting war. They want a nuclear threat. That's what they want. Anything to keep your eyes off what they are up to and what they've done and their criminality. So check this out. There is a 20-point email going around from the Hunter Biden laptop of classified information from Biden to Hunter that Hunter sent to a Burisma board member in 2014. So I'm just gonna start this from Gateway Pundit, reported by Christina Layla. According to emails uncovered from the laptop from hell, Hunter Biden said sent his business partner, Devin Archer, a very detailed email on Ukraine on April 12, 2014, just 1 week before Joe Biden visited Ukraine to meet with then Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk, whatever, some name I can't pronounce. It appears that Hunter Biden was emailing Devin Archer information he received from a briefing his father and the Vice President Joe Biden held earlier. Or the information may have come directly from top secret government documents. So basically, I'm going to read. There's a couple of things here in this memo that Hunter Biden, like none of this, Hunter Biden wouldn't have known unless he had seen the classified documents. Maybe that's when he was, you know, putting them in by the Corvette over there to say, you know, I'm just going to keep him over here for safekeeping. Pop. Buy your Corvette. I just got some classified documents. You know, if you need them again, I'm done with them now. They're there. So it looks like that he either saw the classified documents himself or that Joe Biden told him all this stuff, which either way, that is espionage. That is treason. Like, this isn't a joke. The Biden crime family, again, my sense of it is they are very corrupt. They are very degenerate. But for them, it's about money and it's about power. I don't think they're all that bright. I think that there are people above them pulling the strings, for sure. But Joe Biden absolutely used his position as vice president to leverage all this. I mean, duh. Hunter Biden said, I doubt anything in my life would have happened to me if my last name wasn't Biden. Yeah. And then I think it was Amy Rohrbach who was doing the interview for ABC at the time. And she just like, oh, okay. What do you mean? Like, no inquisitive nature about it. Just kind of like, well, I mean, that's fine, I guess. Anyway, so here's a couple things that were circled. Poroshenko appears to be the likely next president. Determining our team's relationship with him is important. He is credible with the West and by all accounts a true reformer by UK standards. The loan guarantees will allow the UKS to weather the economic impact, but the required reforms to UK public subsidies will weaken the new president. Our guy needs to set himself as the anti-Viktor Pinchuk, pro-coal and steel oligarch, pro-Russian Yanukovych supporter. And then and there's several more. I mean, the point is, because it's kind of in the weeds, the point is that there are, I mean, it is obvious what was going on here. Joe Biden took those classified documents with the approval probably of Barack Obama. Barack Obama could get Joe Biden out of this in 3 seconds if he wanted to. He could just say, hey, you know, no worries here. I declassified those. So Biden having them is not that big of a deal. But he has not done that. Because if he did that, that would acknowledge that the president has the right to declassify classified documents, which is what Trump has all along said. And which is why he said, that's why I had them, because they were declassified. And not only that, I had them in an extremely secure location. Basically, a skiff in Mar-a-Lago. I didn't have him in my garage or at my other two or three Wilmington homes that Joe Biden gets to go into, by the way, go into and in the crime scene and rummage around and take whatever he wants before the FBI comes. Before the FBI comes, Joe Biden got to go to his homes and look around and do whatever he needed to do. And Joe Biden's lawyers are looking through that classified material without, they don't have classified clearance to do that. And they're like, oh, here you go, FBI, here. Whereas Trump's home gets raided, things get thrown around. They pretend like he's got nuclear codes. They take all these pictures of all these, quote, documents, which are basically envelopes that say top secret on them, which Trump was like, look, those are just envelopes. There, everything that's in there was declassified. So Obama can't go in and save Joe Biden, even if he wanted to, which he does not. He doesn't want to save Joe Biden because everything that Joe Biden did was with the approval of Barack Obama, guaranteed. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, her Clinton Foundation. Remember, she was supposed to be the president. And after she lost in 2016, what do you know? 96, 97% of the donations to the Clinton Foundation stopped. Stop, dried up. Nothing to see here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look over here at Antifa rioting. Let's send another $40 billion to Ukraine. Why not? We're just printing money anyway. Can't hurt, right? It is amazing to me, this two-tiered system of justice. And when you just look at what the classified document stuff, what they did to Trump versus what they're doing to Biden. What they did to Trump versus what they did to Clinton. Clinton had a secret server in her basement in Chappaqua. It was open and you could engage in it. It could be hacked. And that was probably the setup. She's probably like, okay, I'm getting X amount of dollars here. I've got to make sure that they can access information as they see fit, whoever. China, Russia, Ukraine, I mean, who knows? Iran, I don't know. Who knows? I do know that her husband, Bill Clinton, sold our military secrets to China. I do know that when he was president. Or gave them away. Listen, the Clintons never give anything away. They got something for it. Anyway, the point is that Barack Obama knows about all this. He was communicating with Clinton on her secret server using an alias email, okay? They're all in on it. It's a completely corrupt system. And the fact that he's emailing classified information that he got from his father to his business partner, sitting on the board of Burisma when he has no energy and oil and gas experience, it's disgusting, you guys. It's disgusting. Now, Casper Tell had a great truth. Adam Schiff, and we're going to talk about the Adam Schiff. Actually, I'm going to hold this. Adam Schiff, Ilhan Omar, and Eric Swalwell are just super mad. They're big mad, you guys. They're super mad. And because they got kicked off their plum committees. And it's delicious. You are listening to Angela Soapbox on Raging Elephants Radio. We've got the shoe warning segment coming up. Stick around.
Automobile aficionado, Apostle Claver here. Let me introduce you to my mechanic, an ASC-certified mechanic, Andre at America's Repair in Houston. Now, you guys know I'm a former, fully sponsored race car driver, and I own a high-performance auto. You bet I'm particular about who even touches my car. I go to America's Repair to get all my auto work done, and you should, too. Andre has served Spring Branch and all of Houston for over 20 years. America's Repair will match or beat any competitor's price. All repairs come with a one-year, 12,000-mile warranty. America's Repair is a complete car care and repair center. State inspection, muffler and exhaust work, wheel alignment, brake work, tune-ups, engine transmission work, auto body and paint. Great deals on oil change and AC checkup. America's Repair accepts all extended warranties. 2005 North Gessner, 1 mile north of Memorial City Mall in the Katy. Wednesday is senior citizen discounts. Thursday, active military discount. Call 713-467-2001. 713-467-2001. AmericasRepair.com. Or click the ad on RagingElephantsRadio.com.
Listen up, Texans. RER Nation has got to grow. We've got to have those RER app downloads. Android devices. Here's how to share the RER app. Get to your application manager through settings. Tap the RER app logo. There's your Google Play, right? Scroll down. See the share icon? Hit it. Choose text or messenger. Pick a couple of Texas Patriots. Give a testimony in 160 characters. Send. iOS device folks, do the equivalent through the App Store. Let's get it viral. RER app.
Welcome back to Angela's Soapbox on Raging Elephants Radio. It is the shoehorning segment wherein I try and shove in as much as humanly possible into 12 minutes. We'll see how it goes. Okay, before we get to the schadenfreude of the week, the delicious irony that Ilhurk Swalwell and Adam Schiff and Ilhan Omar are getting kicked off their committee assignments, let's talk about this. Remember how Paul Pelosi, I said at the beginning of this whole thing, I said, Paul Pelosi's gay lover didn't kill himself. Remember that. So they were trying their best to make sure that the dash cam footage, the body cam footage, the 911 call, all that stuff that would clarify exactly what went on. Like, listen, man, listen, I'm just saying something in the milk ain't clean, okay? Paul Pelosi answers the door himself. He appears to be in no distress. He walks back into the house where the quote intruder is. And that's when this David guy attacks him, allegedly, whatever. And they don't want any of the photographs released, any of the video released, any of the 911 call. No. Look, basically, you know that they're lying when they don't want all the stuff released. Because an honest person and a person who was truly attacked by a lunatic, broken. Let's just say that Paul Pelosi's whole thing was true. And Nancy Pelosi, oh, she got her house exorcised this week from demons, allegedly, even though the Archbishop of San Francisco was like, that's not true. She didn't do that. Because you have to go through the Archbishop or the Archdiocese of the Catholic Church to get an exorcist. I mean, it's stupid. This woman will lie about everything, okay? This woman has lived a lie her whole life. She just, look, I'm just saying, that it's sad that she had to do so much to get her husband to be interested in her instead of other people, shall we say. Anyway, Judge orders release of body camera footage showing the attack on Paul Pelosi. So here they're going to release all of it. And you know who wanted to keep it quiet was the prosecutors. The prosecutors wanted to keep it quiet. They wanted to keep it away from the media. And the judge is like, listen, you literally already, you know, put this out in open court. Like, no, we're not keeping this from the media anymore. Like, your story doesn't make sense. Because the story keeps changing about what happened with Paul Pelosi. My guess is that this may be a young man that he was having a consensual encounter with, and it went hinky or weird, and that's why the police were called. That's just my theory. Call me crazy, but it doesn't sound like this guy was breaking into Paul Pelosi's house, okay? So watch for that to develop hopefully soon. That'll be some more schadenfreude. That'll be so good. Oh, and Josh Hawley introduced the Pelosi bill to basically make it illegal for members of Congress to trade stock while they're in Congress, because we all know what happens. Like, you know, Paul Pelosi dumped all this stock. Like, this, there was some bill that was getting ready to come up, and he dumped all the stock right before it because it was going to hurt his money. I mean, it's just, these people are just disgusting. So corrupt, all of them. Well, 90% of them. Okay, so let's get to the schadenfreude. So this week, Eric Swalwell, who banged a Chinese spy, Eric and Adam Schiff, who lied for still lying, saying that Donald Trump was a Russian agent and that the Christopher Steele dossier was legit and that Trump was going to be in jail for treason or get whatever. All the lies Adam Schiff has told. They're both being stripped of their committee assignments on the Intelligence Committee, thankfully. And you know what? Turnabout is fair play, Democrats, because you stripped Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar of their committee appointments because they were supporting President Trump in the election, and they did not, and they think the 2020 election was BS. Which it is, I've been over this until I'm blue in the face. We all know why January 6th happened, okay? They did not want Republicans going to the floor of the Senate and presenting evidence of massive widespread election fraud so that the election could not be certified. This was a setup from the jump. It was set up a year before. We now know the FBI was going to people a year before trying to infiltrate their groups. And certainly 2 months before the election, they were trying to do that, which is very strange because, you know, how would they know this was going to happen if it wasn't all planned? Anyway, they stripped Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar of their committee seat. So I say, turn about it. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And these three just, ugh, humans. And then we've got Ilhan Omar, the walking sleeper cell, the walking immigration fraud case, married her brother to come here illegally and stay here. Says that Israel had, quote, hypnotized the world, and that congressional support for Israel was all about the Benjamins. And then she introduced a resolution that supported the anti-Israel boycott, divestment, sanctions, BDS movement. And in 2021, she lumped atrocities supposedly committed by the U.S. and Israel in with those committed by the Taliban and Hamas. Did y'all hear that? So, quote, atrocities supposedly committed by the U.S. and Israel are the same as Hamas and the Taliban. This woman, listen, she'd be thrilled if Sharia law could come to America. I said what I said. Of course, she's now married to a white guy, so I don't know how that works. I don't know if he converted for her or what. But he's, you know, he's her campaign manager. And this is the grift. He's her campaign manager. She's paying him, you know, $250,000 every quarter or whatever. And then she marries the guy. And he's still her campaign manager. I mean, this is just beyond swamp, okay? Swampy doesn't even start to touch it. But then we've got I'm trying to find the story with all three of them having a fit, a meltdown, and I can't find it. But needless to say, all three of them are being removed, and now they have to get voted on by the entire House. And we've got two Republicans. One is Nancy Mace, who, ugh, not a fan of her, and someone else, someone from Indiana. They said they're not going to support the removal. I'm like, really? You're not going to support the removal of Ilhan Omar from the House Foreign Relations Committee? This woman who compared Israel and the United States to the Taliban and Hamas and basically, you know, just came into this country illegally, married her brother, committed all kinds of immigration fraud and whatever. This woman is going to sit on the House Foreign Relations Committee, and Eric Swalwell, who's banging a Chinese spy for God knows how long and who knows how much information she got out of him and whatever else he was up to. And Adam Schiff, who made up all the crap he made up, went on TV every single night for 5-6 years, said that Trump was a Russian agent, that Trump colluded with Russia, and he's seen the documents. And then he went out after the call with Zelensky, in which Zelensky brings up Rudy Giuliani coming to Ukraine. Not Trump didn't bring that up. All Trump said was, you need to look into what the Bidens were up to in your country. You need to look into this. That's literally, it's like, get to the bottom of this. That's all he said. But Adam Schiff lied and said that he threatened Zelensky and there was an obvious quid pro quo. And dumbass didn't realize that Trump was just going to be like, fine, I'll just release the transcript. And he was proven to be a liar again. Not to mention, whenever the Devin Nunes memo came out about the Russia collusion hoax and how it was all a setup and it was all paid for by Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party. And this was all the, quote, insurance policy that Andy McCabe, Lisa Struck, and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok all thought up with all, you know, Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr and Barack Obama sitting in his office working on this architect plan along with Hillary Clinton to frame Trump as a Russian agent. He pretends that he didn't go on TV for 6 years and talk and lie his face off. And when the Nunes memo came out, he lied again and said that memo is a lie. And he released another memo that was total BS. And it turns out that Adam Schiff was the liar and Devin Nunes was right. So these two a-holes go and have, excuse me, three a-holes. Two a-holes and a sleeper cell, all right? A walking sleeper cell. They go have a little press conference this week. And they're... or us. Oh, me, Republicans. Let me tell you something. I had my doubts about Kevin McCarthy, all right? But I am rapidly starting to understand why President Trump put his trust in him. Like, you know, there had to be a reason, y'all. There had to be a reason. And Kevin McCarthy has been phenomenal so far. I mean, last week he got up and he was like, if you saw what I saw, Eric Swalwell couldn't get a security clearance in the private sector. And you want to give him a government security clearance? I don't think so. Same thing with all of them. Now, check this out. So... what was I going to say? Okay. So Kevin McCarthy is setting up all these new committees, like looking into the malfeasance and everything like that. So here's one, the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. And then there's one about COVID and he's doing other ones too. And I hope there's going to be one by January 6th, but honestly, the January 6th stuff could be lumped into the weaponization of the federal government. So let me just read a few names who are on this one. Chairman Jim Jordan, Thomas Massey, Chip Roy, happy about that. Dan Bishop, who was one of the holdouts. And so was Chip Roy, by the way, one of the holdouts to McCarthy's speakership. Harriet Hagerman, who took over Liz Cheney's position. Daryl Issa, who's always really solid. And Elise Stefanik, who is in leadership and is a Trump person, but she's also, you know, maybe. She's a maybe. But she's all right. She's all right. That was my timer. We're going to talk about a couple more stories. But he, the point is that McCarthy's kicking ass. And he's doing everything he said he was going to do. Now, listen to this little stat so your mind will be blown, okay? Mind-blowing illegal immigration under Biden approaching 1% of total U.S. population. So that means that approximately 4 million people will be coming to this country illegally under Joe Biden's term. 4 million. That doesn't include the 20 or 30 million that are already here. And this BS of that, 11 to 15 million. I'm like, no. Listen, Democrats. Hispanics, it's not like you do with Black people in Planned Parenthood to keep them at 13% of the population, okay? Like, you've kept the Black community at 13% because you encourage them to abort their babies. This isn't like that, okay? It doesn't always stay, 15 million, 11 million. It is exponentially grown in the past few decades. But they always use that number, don't they? Oh, it's just 11 million. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's approaching 30, 40, 50 million, I submit to you. And the fact that these people just keep the border open, keep them open. It is the great replacement theory. It is making new Democrat voters. It is overwhelming the system. It is Cloward Piven. It is Saul Alinsky. Overwhelm the system in as many ways as you possibly can. That is why we're seeing all the trans crap and the Antifa crap and the woke indoctrination of children and the flood of illegals and calling everything racist and the devaluing of our founding fathers and our founding documents. And trying to get rid of the Second and the First Amendments. It is everything, as the new movie, everything all at once. Everything everywhere all at once. That is what the left is doing. And they think that Hispanic people like this, but no, they don't. 55% of Hispanics are like, we don't want illegal immigration. Why would we want illegal immigration? Why would people who broke their backs to come here legally, who paid money, who did everything right, why would they want a bunch of freeloaders and cheaters to live in this country and not do it the right way? Like, that makes no sense. These people are just, they're just evil. They're just evil. They're evil. And on that note, everybody, I bid you adieu for this week. They may be evil, but we are stronger and we know that God wins. We know that God wins. So keep the faith, everybody. Keep the faith. And until next time, keep kicking ass and taking names. Peace.